Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzhak Etchela. We're now on Masechet Arachin Daf Yod Zayin Amud Aleph, about to begin the very brief fourth parak of Masechet Arachin with the first Mishnah. Heseg Yad Banoder, Vashanim Banidar, Arachin Banerach, Vaerach Kizman Haerach. Those are the four epigrams, as it were, about Arachim, where there are two different possible sides, which one is the one dealt with. So Hesegiad, meaning that the assessment and allowance for poverty is based on the Noder, the one who made the commitment. Hashanim, however, meaning what value someone is given is based on the years of the Nidar, the target. Ha'arachim ba'ne'arach, the arachim go after the one who is ne'arach, which is somewhat like Hashanim ba'nidar, but it's about something else, as we'll see. Va'erech b'zman ha'erech, and it's based on the time of the commitment as opposed to the time of payment. So in every one of these, there is more than one option. Heseg Yad could be about the one who's committing or the one who he's committing about. Years could be, again, based on the same thing. Arachim could be, again, based on, in this case, we'll see it's gender. And Erech could be based on the time of commitment or the time of payment. Here we go. Heseg Yad ben Oder Ketzad. Ani she'arichet ha'ashir noten erech ani. So if a poor man commits to give the erech of a person who happens to be wealthy, he still can be allowed to give less based on his own financial status. And of course, if a rich man says, I'm going to give the erech of that man, and that man happens to be poor, he still pays the full erech. If you attach yourself to somebody else's korban, it won't be the same rule. Because now remember, in the case of Mitzorah, and in the course of the case of the three Olav Yored, and of course of Yoledet, so Mitzorah here is an example, the Torah gives an allowance for poverty, and the korban will be less expensive if the person is poor. So if a person says, I'm going to bring the korban of this mitzorah, not on his behalf, but I'm going to commit to bring the same thing, if the mitzorah himself was poor, mevi korban ani, then you're going to bring a poor man's korban, even though you may be wealthy. We'll see if that's the case. Ashir mevi korban ashir, but if the mitzorah was wealthy, you'll bring a wealthy one, even if you're an ani. So it goes based on the target, as it were, not based on the one who's committing. Rebbe Omer ani af barachim ken. He said that's the same thing as arachim. That's not different. Frelema ani sherich tashir noten erach ani. Why is it that if a poor man commits to give the value of a person who happens to be wealthy, he gives a poor man's value, a poor man's amount? She'ein ashir chayav klum, because the ashir is not chayav anything. He could be oblivious to this whole thing. Aval ashir shamar ki alai v'shamar ani v'amar ma shamar zeh alai. But if an ashir said, I'm going to give my value, which of course means full, and a poor man said, what he committed to, I'm going to give also, noten erech ashir, he doesn't have an allowance, which means the Rebbe says, essentially, korbanot and arachim are all the same. If I'm giving an erech of somebody else who's oblivious, it's not similar to a korban. But if the other person's chayav korban, and I'm attaching myself to his chayuv, if I say, whatever he's chayav, I'm going to give, then you're chayav based on his wealth, not yours. Okay, the Gemara says, Heseg Yad b'marich, b'marichu. Why does the Mishnah say Heseg Yad b'noder? Why did it say b'marich? Because the Torah uses the word noder. Hashanim banidar banerachu. The second clause in the Mishnah, the second epigram, Hashanim banidar, should be banerach. The answer is either mar Heseg Yad banoder or mar nami Hashanim banidar. In order to create some sort of a rhythm, Heseg Yad banoder, Hashanim banidar, and make it easier for the Tanan to remember. So since the first phrase is banoder, following the prescription of the Torah, therefore Hashanim also uses nidar. Now we get into the example given in the Mishnah. The Torah clearly made it dependent on the fellow who's committing. So do we mean to say in the Mishnah that even though the fellow, which is the case that I brought in, who says, I'm going to bring his korban, meaning the same korban he's chayav to bring, I'm going to bring, even if that poor person is wealthy, the Torah said, if he is impoverished, he can bring the, etc., the lighter korban. The birds, velo dalhu, this guy is not dal. So Rabbi Yitzchak Shem Adiro Ani. What the Mishnah means is if the second fellow who's committing is also an ani. Maybe the Torah only allowed the Metzorah himself to have the out for poverty, because he didn't have a choice, he became a Metzorah. Amadirono, but if an outside fellow commits to bringing that korban, even if he's poor, maybe he has to bring the full one. Daktiv hu, imdal hu, meaning he, the Metzorah, is poor. The extra phrase, v'imdal hu ve'enya doma seget, which you can see in the pasuk on the handout, is the rabot et hanoder, is to extend it to the noder. Av mediro ashir, but if the fellow committing is an ashir, achinami demaiti v'ashirut, then he would have to bring a full korban. Imken maya v'al b'korbanot erokin. Then in that case, why does the Mishnah say that the korbanot are not the same? And here we have confusion among the girsaot. We'll take it as per the standard girsa. Chada metzorah ani umediro ani. So one of them is to say, when the outside guy is an ani, like the Metzorah, then he brings a poor one. And one of them is to exclude the case where the fellow who's bringing the korban is an ashir, and the outside guy is an ani, he doesn't get the out. Because I might have thought that since the Torah extended it from ve'ena doma seget to even the madir, I would think that even if the index fellow is an ashir, but the madir is an ani, he would still have the out, kamash malan, that he wouldn't. So here's where the difference lies. If an ani, marich tashir, we know that he gives a poor man's amount, I might think it's the same here with the korban. Although I'm dalhu, that if he is poor, meaning that the outside guy has to be an ani, but the Metzorah himself also has to be an ani. Or the Rebbe, the Amar Omer Ani, Afarachin Omer Kain, Rebbe who says that Arachin are the same, Alma Amar Batachiyu with the Gavra's Linen, which means, by the way, that if you're an Ashir and you say, I'm going to bring his Korban and he's an Ani, you bring a Korban Ani, then you're not excluding anything. What's the who there for? What's excluding? If the outside fellow is an Ashir, so in other words, Rebbe here is going to agree that if the outside guy is an Ashir, then he indeed brings a full Korban. But if the outside guy is an Ani, even though the Metzorah is an Ashir, the outside guy will bring a Korban, exactly like it would be with Arachin. Kamash Balan, that in that last case, Rebbe would agree that you bring a Korban Ashir. That, of course, is according to one of the Girsaot we have, and the Girsaot differ in significant ways. Okay, the next piece. Haya ani v'ashir, ashir v'ani, noten erach ashir. So according to Tanakama, if you were a poor man at the time of commitment, but were wealthy at the time of payment, or vice versa, you have to give the full amount. There's no out. However, Yehuda is going to take it further. Let's say you were a poor man at the point of commitment. You became wealthy enough to pay the full amount, but by the time it came to payment, you were poor again. I'll tell you, Erech Hashir, you still have to give the full payment. Right? Because we're going to see in the Gemara why. Abu Korbanot ain't okay. And when it comes to Korbanot that depend on a sliding scale, it's not true. And watch this. If, let's say, father died and left him a tremendous fortune and he had committed to Korbanot, he still is assessed based on not that value coming in, but on what he has. Or even if he has like a cargo ship filled with fortunes that are coming in, Ein Hekdesh Baklum Hekdesh has no claim on any of that, only on what he has currently right now in his possession. We'll see about the father dying and about the ship. There's the details we have to work out. And therefore, he is judged based on at the time of his commitment. Ani v'ashir, ashir tasig yad ha'adar, ashir v'ani al pi ashir tasig. So that pasuk about the allowance for poverty in Arachim gives us both sides or both points of the commitment, both Ashir Tasig Yad HaNoder, that is when he is paying, and Ashir V'Hani Alpi Ashir Tasig, Alpi meaning based on when he opened his mouth and committed. So if he was wealthy at any either point, he doesn't have the out. Rabbi Yehuda Me'afilo Ani V'Ashir V'Chazor Ani V'Tanar Hashir. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that if he was at any point from the time of commitment till the time of payment was sufficiently wealthy to pay full, he has no out of financial aid, as it were. My time at Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda hold this position against Tanakama? Amakravi im machu merkecha. If he is impoverished below the value, He's saying that the word who is a statement of constancy. He has to be poor from the beginning of the process till the end. But if that's the case, with the Metzora, it should be the same thing. Does the Metzora have to be poor from the moment he became a Metzora till he brings his Korbanot in order to be able to bring the less expensive Korban? If you think that's the case, watch this Mishnah in the Gaim. Metzora Shevi Korbanotav Anu Vashir Asher Ani Akol Olech Achar Chatat. Rabbi Shimon says all that matters is what was your financial status at the time you're bringing the Chatat of the Metzora. If you're poor or if you're rich. Rabbi Yehuda says, and this is our Rabbi Yehuda, it all follows the moment, the status at the moment he brings the Korban Hashem. We have an added brayta. The Rosman Yaakov adds that it's earlier in the process, which is when the ritual with the two birds, whatever his status is at that point. Which means that you see that Rabbi Yehuda understands that the word who does not mean constancy, because yim ve'av v'im dal hu, and Rabbi Yehuda points to one point in time at which wealth or poverty is determined. So ha'it marav, the answer is that there we have a special pasuk. Am Rabbi Yehuda marav, so start mikra achad darshu. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Rosman Yaakov were all looking at the same pasuk, which was asher lo tasig yado betohorato, at the end of that parsha. Says zot torat mitzora asher lo tasig yado betohorato. This is the law of the mitzora who does not have enough, who is impoverished. Betohorato. Shimon says about davar mechaper. He says betohorato means that which is mechaper, maniu chatat. Shimon says about davar machshir betohorato, meaning that which allows him to participate now in korbanot again. My name, that's the asham. So when Yaakov saw ha-golem lo tahara, the first step of tahara, which is tziporim. Fine. Which means that Rabbi Yehuda does not read the word who as being about a point in time. He could still read it as being constancy, but here you have the extra word b'taharato, which takes it in a different direction. V'alohu l'amali, so what do I have v'im dalhu for? The answer is the Rebbe k'di'idle, Rabbanon k'di'idle, as we had in the previous sugya, at the beginning of the podcast. Rebbe and Rabbanon each use the word who, either to eliminate when the madir is an ashir and the mitzora is an ani, and certainly Ashir Ashir, or according to Rebbe, only a case where the Madir is an Ashir and the Mitzora is an Ani. In that case, he does not bring the poor man's amount. Elamiata, we have one more who, Vehu Aid. In the case of Shuata Idut, if a person says, I don't know any testimony that will help you, and takes an oath, it's Chayav, Vehu Aid. Adshe Kashem Tchatovi Ad Sofo. Vehu Aid means he has to be a kosher aid. If somebody was an aid pasul was to say such a shvuah, he wouldn't be chayav if he lied under oath for that, because he couldn't help the guy anyways. He has to be a proper aid, which means that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the case should be that he should be kasher all the way through. If you think that's the case, Vatani, watch this brayta. Let's say the fellow saw a testimony that would benefit you, saw somebody borrowing money from you, along with somebody else, and he wasn't related to you, and afterwards he became your son-in-law. Or pikech min charesh, which means when he became a son-in-law, he couldn't testify for you more. Or he was a capable person, and then he became a deaf mute. Patuach v'nishtameh, or he was a sighted person and became blind. Shafui v'nishtateh, he was sane and then he went crazy. Harei's a pasul, he's not a kosher aid, because at the time of coming to give testimony, he can't give testimony, and therefore if you took an oath, and then by the time he came to testimony, he was one of these circumstances, even if he was perfectly capable, but he became married into the fellow's family and therefore could not testify on his behalf, then he's not chayav. Aval hayah yodeh lo edut ad shelo nasa chatano, v'nasa chatano, v'chakach meita bito. So let's say that when he first saw the activity, he was not related to the fellow. Then he married the fellow's daughter, and then the daughter died, and now the fellow said, you know edut for me. Pikam chayish v'chazom t'pachyach, same thing with deafness. Same thing with sightedness. Shavish t'atev v'chazom t'pachyach, same thing with insanity. Kasher, which means he's a kosher aid, if at the time of seeing it and the time of testimony he's kosher, what happened in the middle doesn't matter. As long as the beginning point and the end point are kasher, he's in and he's chayav and shvuat ha'idut, which means there the word vehu aid doesn't mean from beginning to end. It means at one point one and point two, but not point A and point Z really, but not everything in the middle. And how will Rabbi Yehuda explain that? Answer, Shani Hatam, but Makra, there again the Pasuk singles something out differently, because it's Ora'a Oyadav V'hu Lo'ed Im Lo'yagid, which means we're pointing to the point of Ri'iyah, of seeing, and the point of Haggadah. As long as at point of seeing and a point of testifying, he is kosher, he's in. So ask the same question. Why did it say v'hu eid? If he saw a whole group of guys coming, and among them were his witnesses. I'm serving an oath on all of you guys that if you know testimony from Ishtavoy V'taiduni, and they all say no, Yachol Yuchayavin, Tamalom of Hu'ed means he has to single them out, he has to identify his Eidim. Chol, if you don't mind, call me, what if he framed it differently and he said, any individual among you who knows testimony, I'm serving the Shuan. In that case, he really did single out Eidim, at least in the formulation of the languages. Okay. Okay, so again, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda could maintain that the word v'hu means constancy. However, in the case of the Mitzorah, we have the word b'taharato. And in the case of Shvuat Eidut, we have Ra'ah and Higid. And there it points to, in the case of Mitzorah, 1 point. In the case of Shvuat Eidut, 2 points. Where he has to be in the right situation to fit the consequence. Why does the Mishnah say that even a father died and left him a fortune, Ektish can't touch him? He's wealthy. Not that a father died, but father is dying and going to leave him a fortune. So Peshitta, that's a no-brainer. He doesn't have the money. So the answer is, let's say father was a goses. Since a goses is inevitably going to die, and in most cases, they're not going to get up again. So therefore, we could say that it's as if the money is already his and Hekdesh has a claim. Kamash Malam, then it's not the case. What about the guy who's got a fortune in cargo coming in on a boat? He's wealthy. The cargo wasn't his. People had rented the boat from him. But at least he's got boat rental coming in. And that's money that Hekdesh could touch. The answer is that Shechirut is only paid at the end, meaning that we don't say that every moment of rental there's a percentage that's really his. It's only at the end of the rental period then the whole thing becomes his, and that's not now. It's still out in sea. But typically we should have Sfina, but he owns a boat. We'll have this mission later on. What happens if a person commits to Hekdesh? In certain cases, the Gizbar is Mashkein, takes collateral. Chachamim say they take everything collateral. Rabbeinu says they have to give back, except they leave him a bed, etc., certain basic needs. Rabbeinu is of the opinion that they have to give back those things which belong, that she needs for his livelihood. And therefore, since this fellow is a boat renter, he needs his boat for his livelihood, and therefore the Hekdesh can't touch his boat, according to Rabbi Eliezer. The two cases here are, is if he's a farmer, they have to give him his team of oxen, and if he's a donkey driver, they have to leave him his donkey, very much like the boat, and the boat driver, the boat renter. Okay, Ashanim Banidar, in the next clause, the second clause of the opening Mishnah, the second epigram, Ashanim Banidar Ketzad, Yelad Sherich Zaken Oten Erech Zaken. If somebody's young and they say, I'm going to give the value of that guy and that guy's older, you give based on his value, the older guy. Zaken Sherich Davan Eta Yelad Oten Erech Yelad. And same thing in the reverse. Arachin Banerach, the third epigram, that the Arachin depend on the Nerach. What's that? Ish Sherich Ha'isha Oten Erech Isha, Isha Sherich Ha'ish Oten Erech Ish. That's about gender. That if the man says, I'm giving her value, then he gives based on a woman's value and vice versa. The last of the epigrams. If you said, I'm giving the value of that boy, and he's 4.5, and by the time it comes to payment, it's been a year, then you give, or somebody who's 18, and 3 years later he's 21, and you come to pay, you give based on the value when you made the commitment, not the value when you're coming to pay. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan, Ataki Shita Damimu Arachin. We know that damim, which is based on value, and arachim, the set erech, are compared to each other. After all, we learn damim from arachim. Neder berkacha. Margalit lakalim v'lidon mechvodo. We learned that for two purposes. One halacha is margalit lakalim, which is when somebody has a particular possession, like a jewel. But he's in a place where people don't take jewels very seriously, and they won't spend much money on them. Then it's he's assessed based on that value at that place, not the value that it would catch in some fancy place where they recognize the value of jewels. And l'don l'chvado is the halacha of damim, and that's for damim and arachim. And l'don l'chvado is the halacha where if you give the value of the damim or the arachim of somebody's head or heart, then the whole body comes along. In the case of damim, you give based on the value of somebody when you're paying, not when you committed. I might think we'd make that comparison. It is as per the value it stands, meaning it's based on your valuation. You're saying I'm going to give his value, not when you come to pay. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We'll do the second and final podcast in this very short perek. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.